I've never been to that turns out to be really a great track. So I want to see some good races, and at the same time, I want to see some new tracks. And in July and August, county fairs are popular, and so this year, I think in July and August, I was on the road about 45 or 50 days out of the 60 days of those 2 months, mainly seeing county fairs.
Wow. Now, I can tell you the first time I came across you and what you've been doing, I don't know where I saw it, but I still have the pictures to this day. You visited a little track down here. Actually, it's a big track. A little place called Sand Mountain Speedway in Fort Meade. And unfortunately, the track never opened. You were fortunate enough to get in there and see something before the guy finally showed. And I guess he got a lot of heat from the county and town, but I actually ran the last practice race they had over there on the oval. I know you were there and you were running the off-road buggies and stuff, but that could have been a nice facility. It's just too bad that he had to come up against the opposition he did. But that's where I originally came stumbled across you. I believe you went with your father-in-law or for that trip?
Yeah, my stepfather lived nearby. And we probably went to Sand Mountain Speedway. I bet you I've been there 10 times, kind of at the gate looking in, seeing if they're going to be racing. And finally, on that one time, we did get a chance to see some off-road racing. So that's another thing in track chasing is that you can't just drive by a track and go, gee, I drove by it, and therefore I can count it. You have to see wheel-to-wheel racing.
So it has to be an actual race and competition to say that you were actually at the track.
That's right. If you go there and buy a ticket and you watch time trials and they get rained out, you don't get to count the track. So there are a lot of tracks that I've been to more than one time. Either got rained out, they weren't racing. I was at Lebanon Valley once up in New York, which I think is a fantastic track, and they got bogged out
there many times.
Yeah, I've been to tracks where the lights have gone out. I've been to tracks where the lights have gone out and they line up all the passenger cars and turn the lights on so they can race that way. I think it seems like I've seen it all, but at the same time, about every time I go to a track, I see something that I've never seen before, even if it's something that's really small. So that's what keeps me coming back, I guess.
Right. Speaking of Lebanon Valley, did you ever get to meet the owner and the promoter of Lebanon Valley when you were there?
Is that Howie Commander?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, I've never met him. I met one of his disciples at a track up in Canada, and he was selling his concessions. Every one of his concessions, French fries, hot dogs, Cokes, were a dollar. And I asked him how he came up with this idea, and he told me that Howie Commander thought that was a good idea, and that's what he was doing.
Howie Commander is a very smart man. I wish some people down here in Florida would take some notes from that man, but you can't always necessarily lead a horse to water. But he is actually, just a little note for you, is taking over the Albany Saratoga Speedway next year over in Malta. And I don't know if you've been there. I'm sure you've been there at some point. The track was blacktop, started off blacktop, went to dirt. The Richards family paved that track and their sister track, Devil's Bowl in Vermont, a couple years ago. Well, that was a big mistake. They turned around and sold within a couple months here, they sold the track in Devil's Bowl in Vermont to Mike Bruno, who was an asphalt racer out of Vermont. The dirt track, or the Albany Saratoga track, they put the dirt back on and they leased it to Howie Commander. So now he's going to have a 1-2 punch Friday and Saturday up there. So that may be something you want to might visit on a Friday night this year, because it's probably going to be the happening place in New York on a Friday night in upstate New York.
Yeah, I'm sure they'll do well. I'm a big fan of New York State racing. I think that the Midwest has maybe the best short track dirt racing, and New York and Pennsylvania and Ohio and those states out in that area have some really good racing too. Unfortunately, where I live, a lot of the good tracks have gone under when the land became so valuable that they wanted to build houses on them. Ascot Park was a fantastic track, probably one of the top five tracks in the country. They closed that in, I think it was either 1990 or 92, and they were going to develop the land, and they had some problems, and to this date, they have not developed the land, and They closed Ascot 20 years too early, I guess, given the fact they didn't do anything with the land.
Yeah, the same thing happened here at Sunshine Speedway over near Tampa. That's a blacktop track. They closed that, and I guess the county or the state was going to put a road through there. They haven't done anything with the property, and the track's been closed for, God, I want to say at least 8 years, 6 years. Now there's talk that the state may, if somebody comes along with deep enough pockets, lease it back to somebody to get some revenue in over there. But, you know, that's neither confirmed or 100%, but that's the talk in this area this week, anyhow. So it's always nice to see a track open up or reopen. It's never nice when a track closes. And I can give you on one hand, probably four or five of them in my area that are closed or not running to this date. And it's really sad. I mean, it's really sad. I hope that's, you're being a track chaser. You've probably seen yourself a lot of tracks closing in various parts of the country too, correct?
Well, it's kind of funny. There are a couple of classes of racing. I would go-karts and road course racing, amateur road course racing in America, which have turned into participant-only sports. The only fans that would be there would probably be just family of the racers. And so you'll have 500 people in the pits and 25 people in the stands, if that. And I sometimes see some of this oval racing going in the same direction. Tonight I got an email from somebody inviting me to be a speaker at a promoter's workshop to just kind of give them my point of view since I've seen so much racing. And I kind of think about racing with the promoter as kind of being one way or the other. They're either a former racer who wants to cater to the racing part of it, the racers, or they're somebody who wants to cater to the spectator. And it does seem like more promoters want to go with the racers. Meaning that, you know, they're going to start the fast guys up front. They're going to take their time getting the show going until every racer's got every little shoelace tied and that sort of thing, while the fan just sits in the stands with not much to do and not much entertainment. I mean, the fans come to see a couple of things, I think. I think they want to see the cars passing. They want to see some crashing and banging a little bit. They want to be entertained by the announcer, who I think is the most important employee at the track, at least on the spectator side of the equation. And they want to, you know, they want to have heroes that they can watch and come back week after week and see how their guy does against somebody else. And